Yeah.
That's because of the stuff that we did.
Coming to you live from the stop off between the Bay Area and Tahoe. It's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now wishing he were somewhere cooler too. Here's Nate.
Hey.
That's how it works.
Come on. On your own show?
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to be honest.
Oh, fine.
This is the stop-off point between Tahoe and the Bay Area.
Are we not cool enough for you, Nate?
Well, we did have to turn off the AC to do the show.
Ah.
Yeah.
We're that cool.
We're hot.
Absolutely hot.
Hot.
Coming up this week on the show, where are Scarlett Johansson's boobs? Where did they go?
I hope they're on her chest, but we'll find out.
We will. The coroner has moved out of Florida and found another state that deserves to be mocked. We'll tell you where that is. Plus, America's best and worst jobs. Those are all coming up.
DJ number one. Lawyer number two.
So,
on which
journalist,
though?
Number three.
Yeah.
So let's start out with, because we didn't on Wednesday. We were lousy with gay news and NBA news on Wednesday. So what have you guys been up to the past week or so?
Ooh.
Christiana, why don't you start? You've got the little one.
God, I always like, blank out and go crazy when that question comes up. What the hell did we do last week? And I feel like it was something cool.
We did a show.
We did a show.
But he said cool.
We did a show.
Just kidding.
We've done better shows.
Yeah, we did a show.
No, we didn't.
We were on stage for an hour.
Was a show.
It's true. I blame the audience. Oh. And rarely will I do that. But
something.
Someone
so
in the audience.
Often,
no.
I clapped really hard.
Every so
no,
often.
No, you're the one.
Every so often something happens. And I don't know if it's like a full moon or what. But, you know, one group of people can have an off night. The audience can have an off night. Or the cast can have an off night. When they both have an off night together,
it's the perfect storm.
It hurts. It hurts everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the perfect storm.
Like, and you know, because we've had other shows that it wasn't a terribly full house, but that doesn't matter. But it just, you kind of knew because like, everyone was sitting at the back.
Yeah.
It was the kids, that's the cool like, kids in school that's hard to get. Like,
it was like
a ride
chem class in there.
And I had a bunch of friends come and I had like a.
You had friends there?
I had friends there. And technically I had somebody who's like kind of a boss who was there.
Oh.
And I was just like shit.
Are they deaf and
that always happens. Every it's single bad. Time my parents have come to see me do improv, which has only been like 3 times in a number of years. I have the worst show, and they're always
I have
kind
a bad
of like,
show, and then someone gets ass raped on stage, or it's me. And
yeah,
like,
it's terrible.
No,
and sorry. My parents are kind of like, "Oh, it's nice that you do improv. We're really busy," and I know why because every time they've come, it's been horrible, and then I have great shows with nobody there.
Well, the funny thing is, and just let me set the scene for you. If you want to know what the audience was like, it was like everybody in the audience was auditioning for the lead role in Tommy before he got to the pinball machine.
I clapped. I laughed.
There
I
were,
went, woo!
There were, I think where we as a cast had an off night is every so often, well, you sort of wait like the natural cue to wipe. You know, you hit like people
joke.
Laugh and then you move on.
Right.
And they weren't laughing. So then we had some scenes that like just didn't end. And I could just see that we were like, why can't we kill this? And the people in the back line were paralyzed with fear and people on the stage were paralyzed with fear.
Oh, no.
So, but other than that, it was a fun weekend. My daughter had a soccer game.
Oh,
that's
no.
always exciting.
Nice.
Did it go better than the last one?
Well, she doubled her time on the field.
Ooh, like a minute?
Yep.
Ooh.
That is progress.
That was cute. She walked around holding one of her little teammates' friend's hands for a while. They just kind of walked around together. That
Aww.
Was cool. And then she was going to take, they don't throw the ball in when it goes off out of bounds. They just kick it in. And so she stood there with the ball in front of her, ready to kick it. Really ready to kick it. and nothing happened. So that was about Aww. It. But it was a great day at the Y. They had a healthy kids fair, which was fun. So she planted a little plant and did some bubbles and some face paint. So that's always exciting.
Nice.
She liked that a lot better than the soccer part of it. And then I spent Sunday in Sonoma.
Oh,
which was lovely.
Sweet.
Nice.
Let me just add this for people who've never been to an improv show.
We're usually fucking fantastic and you all should come.
Here's the thing about any improv show, and it's what makes improv beautiful. Sometimes it comes together in such a glorious way that it is the funniest thing you have ever seen in your life. And other times, because improv is made up on the spot and you've got live actors performing a play made up on the spot in front of you, sometimes it doesn't go so well. So, and you never get the same show twice. So that's the beauty and the curse of improv.
It's like sex. Well, out there.
No,
it's gonna be bad.
I've never had a problem at least getting a finale.
I've I've never had a sex experience that bad.
You know, the audience isn't with you.
Well, the good thing about improv is that you at least you don't go down alone. You're always among friends.
It's true.
Like,
and here's
like
just
you
don't like have sex,
to, right?
See, my analogy. This is the analogy of the night, guys. I don't care.
And not that you can take any console from this, but Ted and I were in Anti-Cooperation League afterward, and this is why you should buy the combo package and see two shows. That show was fantastic.
Yeah, it went pretty well.
There you go.
It was when you have a guest who talks about, amongst other things, the fact that she eats a local grass-fed raw food diet.
That includes meat.
Yes.
I have never heard of such a thing.
Yeah. I have.
Raw
that is
meat.
The craziest
there was steak
thing.
Tartare on the menu.
I guess that's true.
The place we went in Sonoma.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. I forgot about steak
I
tartare.
I do eat raw. Well, every time I go to sushi, that's raw meat.
Right.
Basically.
But fish is flesh
of an animal. You mean flesh of an animal.
But is it raw meat or is it like there's... All right, never mind.
A lot of sushi is raw.
Yeah, a lot of sushi is raw.
Some of it's smoked, but some of it's raw.
And so is steak tartare. But that was a musician, and she had great stories. So when you go off of that, it's a lot easier to do a show than when you have someone who had a child at a very young age and then alludes to him doing bad things. And then when you ask about those bad things, she goes, I don't want to talk about it.
It should have been good because there were all these interesting facts there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Bubbling below the surface.
Go ahead and make up some monkey shines from like Leave It to Beaver. Come on.
Yeah.
Give us something, lady.
Yeah. Anyway.
What about you guys? What did you guys do that was fun?
Well, we went to the Jewish Heritage Festival.
How was that? I saw pictures from other friends who were there.
Yeah, it's an annual event in Midtown Sacramento, and it was interesting. They actually had protesters outside protesting about Palestine, so that was kind of interesting. You had to walk through them to get into the festival. There weren't a lot of them, but it definitely, you kind of are in this mood of like, I've got my sun hat and I'm ready to go out and have this fun day. And then you're like, oh, very
Was it the
somber.
Jews against Zionist people who are at the farmer's market usually? Were they there?
It was Jews who were doing it.
And so we walked through the protesters and then registered. And then you have the option of getting a little teeny Israeli flag or not. And we had some from last year, so we didn't get them this year. And then we ate food.
Yeah, I have a clip from that festival. I know you didn't think we were there, but we do.
Okay, the first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says ow, you stop.
I think it's crazy.
It may be getting to be time to retire that.
No.
But it was fun because I went last year with Ted, and Ted and I have been dating not quite 2 years. So we went last year, and the whole time I was like, Ted, what is that? Ted, what is that? What are they selling? What are they eating? How is this working? And this time I was like, I know what everything is. And I felt so happy because my Jewish knowledge has grown quite a bit, and I felt like I was really right in the know. But Ted didn't let us get a shofar. I kind of think we need one.
That's a ram's horn that you blow.
Oh,
it's like a big trumpet, a big ram's horn trumpet.
And the dude that was selling it was like blowing one in each hand. It was a little
like
much.
Two shofars at a time, like double shofar.
Oh, yeah. that's just shofaring off.
Oh, right,
yeah.
Right.
That's what you did there.
But as I told
I normally
Ted,
won't, but there you go.
I've come shofar in my Jewish knowledge, you know.
What did I start?
I get all the jokes, yeah.
And, and the other thing we did is that we went out to a games night with some friends at this little bar out in, what area of town is that?
It's Streetcar Cafe, and it's right next to the Colonial Theater on Stockton Boulevard. Right.
Oh, yeah. They have
the good section of town.
Yeah, not the best section, but they have
Med Center adjacent.
They have excellent macaroni and cheese, and we play what I like to think is our new favorite game, which is, what's it called?
Cards Against Humanity.
Has anyone played Cards Against Humanity?
I've heard of this.
It's like apples to apples, except naughtier and more edgy and a lot more fun, I guess.
Like a black comedy apples to apples with swear words and like really
nice.
Twisted humor.
That must be why, because I was at Target and I saw apples to apples has come out with like a bad apples
thing.
So I bet now they're trying to be.
We had actually
dark.
On the way back on the podcast talked about doing that, but we weren't generating any money and I didn't want to buy the game.
Oh, I love that game.
Fair.
I want to own a copy of it. I'll buy one.
If you have a copy of it, we will do one show where we just play that.
Oh, and that'd be so
fun.
It's
what
really
will you
fun.
Buy it through? Can you get it?
Should I go to Target
or
Rebecca and something better?
You know, if it were me, because you're a man who likes to plan ahead.
I do.
So you can wait a day or two.
Okay.
What I would do is I would go to NateDarlingShow.com,
oh.
click that shop Amazon tab and go ahead and order it right there. It's probably going to be less than it is at, say, a big retailer like Target or even Walmart. And the best part is it's supporting the show, too. So you support the little show that could.
Yay.
That's us.
We really could, couldn't we?
Exactly.
If we put our minds to it.
We can put our minds to it. So, yeah, shop locally unless you need something that the local people don't have or want too much for. shop Amazon through datedarlingshow.com.
Okay.
Because that's what you should do. All right, let's get on with the show. I talked enough about me last time. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you have something else?
I was done. I was wanting to make sure you got what you've been up to.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I bought a bike. We talked about that on Wednesday.
You did.
Yeah, that was my big thing. And while by the time you hear this, I will actually have the bike because we recorded the show ahead of time. I don't have it yet, and I'm all a titter. I am excited. Seriously, I haven't been this excited about getting a bicycle since I was 8.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's awesome.
I am like a little kid excited for this thing. I'm like, I can't wait. I have to wait an extra day because apparently it comes stock with white wall tires. I want black wall tires to go on it. And the dudes at Midtown Cruiser Shop is going to swap those out for me when it comes in.
Nice.
So exciting.
So, yeah, very exciting.
All right, this is going to be a huge week.
It is.
For everybody. Ted and I, by the time you all listen to this, will be in the Bahamas.
Oh. Yeah, oh, that's right. And
not to brag.
So
it was a big brag. I'm sorry. But I'm really excited. I haven't traveled anywhere in a long time. I'm excited.
It's very cool. So next week, Nick and Michaela Pettigrew will be sitting in for you guys. So
the geekiest.
Yeah, and we'll talk about maybe do a little preview of what's coming up on the Critical Hit show.
Awesome.
Yeah. So we'll do that.
Oh, wait. I have something to remind our listeners about, too. This Saturday.
May the 4th.
Tomorrow. May the 4th. May the cat stop eating your thing over there, by the way. We've got a scarf casualty.
Okay, back to the plug.
This Saturday in West Sacramento, May the 4th, sponsored by Sat Geeks and others, starts at 4 p.m. maybe at the community center. Don't know.
Yeah. And it is a Star Wars.
But it's awesome. If you Google it up, you can find it. It's a celebration of all things Star Wars. There'll be vendors and people in costumes, probably cute kid Ewoks, and some performances from your friends at Critical Hit.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Hey. I could say that about stupid bicycles too. Everybody likes Star Wars.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Everyone but Nate.
So anyway, it's a fun event.
He's a Trekkie, that's the problem.
It's gonna be great. Seems like it's gonna be really popular, so you guys should come on out.
Yeah,
you know,
check it out.
You know what's really funny? There actually is a Star Trek poster in my new office, and I need
to
get it
story?
Out. Nothing. He said I was a Trekkie.
That's why he's like Star Wars. He's a Trekkie.
I see.
And I do. I actually do own episodes 4, 5, and 6. I have the box set. So meh.
Well, now I feel like. Now I feel like since we got dissed a little bit that we have to add on to the geek plugs and say that May the 4th is also free comic book day. Ooh. So don't forget to stop by your local comic shop and pick up free comics before you go to May the 4th.
Yeah, you should do that.
You would hate to go without proper reading material.
Now, you mentioned your cruise. I have to mention this. I was out at the Folsom Premium Outlets. And
ooh,
the
premium ones, not the generic ones.
Right. You don't want the generic at like Thrift Town or whatever that is.
Oh, I love Thrift Town.
Yeah.
So
we were just there this weekend.
So, saw the oddest thing.
Ooh.
It was like a kiosk in the middle of the walkway for Carnival Cruise, and I had to take a picture because apparently for $199, you can get 2 nights in Vegas and a 4-night cruise on Carnival Cruise Lines. No, I did not go and ask if the ship departed from Vegas because I know it doesn't. It is weird, but I didn't want to get hooked into any sort of weird sales talk pitch because, well, you can't turn down a $200 cruise. Yes, I can.
Do you think it's like you buy the cruise and then they're like, oh, did you want a bed? That costs extra. Did you want food? That costs extra.
Well, no, this is all part of Carnival's. We had ships break down and strand people at sea over and over again.
Oh.
It's their version of an apology tour.
Oh.
So that's why they're offering such great deals.
Oh.
Part of me wants to just do that.
I mean,
I totally would. Part of me
wants to tempt fate.
Well, what are the odds is going to happen again? How often does that happen?
There was a ship back the week after, actually.
Yeah.
But two. I mean, the odds are getting lower and lower each time.
Right.
I'm saying.
Or higher and higher.
Could lightning strike 3 times in the same place, you guys?
It could.
I'm going to take the gamble.
So I have news from Australia for you, where a lingerie firm has launched women's underwear for men. That's right. If you're a man and have wanted to dress in women's lingerie, Affirm has come up with the perfect product for you. Homme Mystère is opening their new range of lingerie for males, which includes thongs and padded bras, will change the landscape of men's underwear. The Australian firm said their undergarments include comfortable men's panties that really do fit, bra straps that don't fall off the shoulder, teddies that don't ride up halfway through the night, and quality soft fabrics that feel great for all-day wear.
Finally.
Hey, can they invent teddies that don't ride up halfway through the night for women?
Nah. Well, you could probably buy those.
No, everything rides up all the time.
The label already has a UK seller, so get ready, Britain. Men there can look forward to more enjoyable pants, as they call them. The company is keen to stress the garments are not just for gay men. They added, "We provide our lingerie for guys. We're not concerned if you're gay, straight, vegetarian, Republican, Anglican, Martian, or any other persuasion.
Even Jewish.
We just design and manufacture luxury underwear for men."
Have you seen the picture, though? The most important thing to learn here is apparently you want to get the pink one because it really accentuates your schlong.
It does.
I mean, I can't tear my eyes away. It's
you're
really
transfixed.
I was just going to say, though.
It's off-putting, too, and unattractive, I think, in every possible way.
Oh. Aren't most cross-dressing men straight? I mean, I think that it's a miss... I don't know. I don't think that a lot of cross-dressing men are actually gay.
That's what the statistics say, is that's actually the case. But there is a stigma to it that does not exist. Because you can go into the men's section of any store anywhere, buy a bunch of clothes, and go, yep, going to wear this, going to wear this, going to wear this. If Ted rolls into the Mrs. department and starts pulling down some lingerie and goes, going to wear this, and this skirt will look delightful on me, he's going to get some very cross looks from people.
That's
true.
They'll
be jealous. Mm-hmm. Haters going to hate.
Exactly.
Bitches. And
that's true.
They're going to be jealous you look better in it than them.
That's what I'm saying.
So, yeah.
That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Okay, good. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Ted had to wear a miniskirt for at least two different comedy shows that I've seen him in, and
things
he rocked
I do
it.
For comedy.
So that's what sealed the deal for you?
Yeah.
Ted in a miniskirt?
No, we were already dating at that point, but I was like, woo, look at the versatility.
I'm versatile. That's on my resume, versatile.
It is. So we all heard about this... news anchor AJ Clemente, who and I didn't play
Go
it last
Mountaineers.
I didn't play it last week on the show because it was everywhere. He said the F word and the S word to start out his very first time as an anchor in North Dakota, but it's apparently worked out for him because he went from Bismarck to New York City, where he started on the Today Show.
People talking.
So we have shown you the video, AJ Clemente making what he called a rookie mistake, that's his own admission, during his first night as a news anchor.
NBC North Dakota News, your news leader in
the
high
whole
definition.
State is
gay.
One market.
Good evening, I'm Van Tu. You may have seen our newest AJ on NBC North Dakota News, and he'll be joining the weekend news team as my co-anchor. Tell us a little bit about yourself, AJ.
Thanks, Van. I'm very excited. I graduated from West Virginia University, and I'm used to, from being from the East Coast.
You know, I'm used to being from the East Coast.
See, I think this is where the only thing I call, he's a good kid, but he does say, later in other interviews that he didn't know that it was, he didn't know the camera's on, he didn't realize what he said until, he heard the playback or whatever. But I think his reaction, the fact that he fumbles so badly on all the other things he's saying, he's like, oh, really fucking shit, whatever.
Yeah.
So let's move forward with the Today Show.
AJ is with us exclusively. If you can't tell, he is a great sport. Good morning to you, AJ.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
I know you've seen that clip a couple of times and then about 10 times just this morning since we've been good enough to play it for you over and over again. What did you think when you first saw it?
When I first saw the clip, it was, gut-wrenching. I didn't even know I said it on camera until my news director walked in on a third break.
Oh, God.
So that's a long time to go without realizing that you had dropped those words. Go back to the beginning of the tape. The show is coming on the air. What were you doing? What caused those words to come out of your mouth?
It's inexcusable, first, to even say those words.
Duh.
But I was looking down. I'm going over my script. Van, my co-anchor, happens to be looking at the camera, and she noticed the red light.
As one will do.
She came on 30 seconds early. I'm going on, London Marathon is my second story. There is literally three names I don't know how to pronounce at all.
Literally
so
three.
To pronounce them, you're practicing them. As you kept messing them up, you got frustrated,
definitely,
thinking you still had time before you went on the air.
Did Matt Lauer do this? Is that why he's so like,
fireball,
it's okay, right? I mean, anyone, it could happen to anybody.
I mean, you didn't have anybody.
He might have.
Yeah.
You didn't have anybody cueing you, and you didn't have an earpiece. So
God,
for those
enough
who
already
are just watching,
he's
it,
fine,
just to take them inside the moment, there's a reason you really didn't know you were on the air.
No, there was no floor director. When you get to a really small market, usually there's nobody actually in the studio. It's not like Wayne's World.
Oh.
I'm a professionally trained radio.
No countdown, except in the master.
Wayne's World was a huge market.
But we didn't have an earpiece. I was too, 3 weeks into the job, they didn't mold me for one.
She left her earpiece in the car.
Van forgot hers in the car.
Yep.
You know, it was a
where did she park? Where did Van park the car? South
Van.
Dakota?
When you get in a really small market, you have to park down the street at the Target. There's no parking lot.
You have absolutely no animosity toward the station.
No, I fully expected, you know, that they would fire me. And,
and
they
did.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Dreams come true.
But you think the Today Show, is that it? No, it's not. He was not even close to done in New York because he moved up the island and visited with Kelly and Michael. What the hell are they playing underneath him? Weird Science? What is that?
He's alive.
You know, I've got to tell you that this clip of you has captivated all of us.
Yes.
It's taken us on a wild ride. What exactly was going on in your head when that happened? Were you
I took off my
aware
headphones. I'm sick of hearing about it already.
I had no clue. I had no...
That's the same joke they did on the Today Show.
Precautionary bleep.
Wait, are we live?
Yeah, we're live. I know that's your favorite form of TV.
So, yeah, he went to live with Kelly and Michael, but he wasn't done. No. He still had a time with our friend.
Ted, do you need to step outside for a little bit? Or
it's like, if I screw up my job, I'm not going to like go to go onto different stations and talk about it.
Fuck, I would. If I just lost my shit.
Is he trying to just build his brand at this point?
Oh, he's
yeah, of course.
He's lucky
he needs to have a job.
Good
he's
for him.
A job.
I'm glad it's working for him.
He probably moved to North Dakota, you guys. I mean,
now,
what's he going to do now?
Ted, I think you're the one who pointed this out on Facebook.
Ooh.
What was it, AOL Music or someone, where they were live tweeting getting fired?
Oh, right. Yeah, from AOL Music shut down, and the guys were live tweeting from the site. Like, we're getting fired.
Please?
It's a bloodbath here. And it was on TechCrunch. It also happens to be an AOL brand. So someone was saying maybe they're just trying to pimp one AOL story with another story. I don't know. But it's just interesting that, yeah, like social media has just become this way to gripe about things in real time and not give a shit about what the consequences might be.
But AJ actually went on Real Media and he finished his day with David Letterman.
Wow. David Letterman.
Did you think that your life was finished when this happened?
Extremely. I went home, crawled in bed, and called my parents.
Yeah. And what did they say? Oh, don't worry about it.
At first, they were, you know, a little, it was an emotional conversation.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Said, AJ, who
is
won
he
the
drunk
London
at
Marathon?
This point in the day?
Yeah. Can you? You got any info on it? Oh, my God.
But the next day, you know, you got to pick yourself up. You got to laugh at yourself. And,
yeah. Well,
you know,
that's a great lesson, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
And it's come to us at a time where we need a little something that's brighter for us to consider.
Right.
Now,
like the
now,
downfall
these,
of your career.
So here's where Letterman tries to help him.
But
now, do you want the job back? Because I'm telling you right now, AJ, you're better than that.
If there's better offers,
yeah.
I will definitely.
There should be an offer, and they should apologize to you, and you should go back because you're man enough to face the music. You've been on this show. You've been on a lot of shows. You've been on the Twitter and the face feed and all of that stuff.
Face feed? Oh, I see. You're kidding.
If you want to, you should be offered that job back. Now, would you take it if they said to you, AJ, come on back. We accept our responsibility in this. Everybody makes mistakes. Let's go forward.
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there because Letterman is setting him up, saying, would you go back if they offered you your job? And this is what AJ says.
I've thought about it, but if, you know, ESPN comes knocking.
Oh, no. He shoot himself in the foot.
Look, I'm trying to get you the job back in Bismarck. Forget about ESPN. That ain't going to happen.
Oh.
You're going back to Bismarck.
So this dullard, let's not get around the fact this guy's a dumbass.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on. You've got to prepare. First of all, I didn't know how to pronounce their names. Get your scripts together before the show. Read them through before the show. Understand you're in the studio and you shouldn't be dropping F-bombs and S-bombs. You West Virginia University dullard.
Hey, now. Hey, so wait, now. Hey, there's no need to besmirch all the Mountaineers because of this guy. There's no call for that.
Like, Nate, you work in a news area, newsroom sometimes.
Yes.
And how much time do they have with these news scripts before the show? I always just assumed they were kind of being fed through a monitor.
North Dakota, 3 weeks.
You should rewrite them before they go.
Oh, so you
air.
Really have time to look at them and figure stuff out.
Unless you're in a breaking news situation, which they were not, you have anywhere between an hour and 2 hours to look over your scripts and read them through. Now, if you're in a really small market and you might be out doing a story, you might only have, I don't know, 30 minutes. But you have enough time to look over your scripts, go, how do I pronounce this, write it out phonetically, and take care of that. Also, one of you needs to have an effing earpiece in because you don't have a floor director, and the only way you get cued is from the people in the control room who tell you in your ear, 30 seconds, stand by, you're on.
Uh-huh.
Right, how are they even going to do the show with nobody with an earpiece? I mean, is that even possible with commercial breaks and stuff?
Well, it is because you'll know when you're back. You can watch the monitor and go, oh, look, we're back. But it was just so awful. It was just so awful. And my friends that work in media, there was a wide reaction to this. And it was everything from, well, it's Bismarck. It's his first job. It was really
That's
a stupid.
Why it's in Bismarck.
Yeah, it was really a stupid, horrible mistake. He's probably making $18,000 a year, maybe. All the way to, I want to find him and kill him.
Oh.
Now, they were being a little bit over the top with it.
Yeah.
But it was just like, this gives the entire industry a black eye when this is the talent that's coming in to try and replace. But the bottom line is, if you want to work in news, quite often you start out in a very small market making next to no money, you know, where the people at McDonald's can be making more money than you are. But you're on TV, so everybody thinks you're rich. And by the way, he's not, because if he was, he would have had that giant thing on his lip gnawed off. Because good God, he's got an Uncle Buck-sized mole.
Oh,
holy
wow.
God.
You didn't notice
Uncle
it.
Uncle Buck.
You didn't you notice it on the Today
to
Show
one.
Because you
I
don't
watch it on the Today Show.
If you see him from his left side, you don't see it.
Oh.
If you see him from his right side, it's a giant mole on his upper lip.
What?
Not a mole.
We're just frightened by that.
A mole.
Yeah, it's frightening.
So wait, what happened with Letterman though?
That was the end of the interview.
Oh, so he? Oh, I was wondering if he got his job back or something.
No, I don't.
You were really hoping he was going to truck out. Like, and here's your producer now.
Right. But since you don't get it, you're not smart enough to get the show job.
Yeah,
back.
You're not. Well, if ESPN comes knocking, they're not coming knocking. You're awful. You're awful. You're not good yet. Maybe not ever. He graduated from West Virginia and for 2 years was a bartender and barback. That was the only work he could find after getting his degree in journalism.
Bareback.
No, it's barback.
Okay.
He might have been doing some barebacking, but it was a result of being a barback.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool. Or tool.
Whoa. All right, this one's going to be easy. In cool or tool, first up, the Today Show. Ted.
I don't watch the Today Show. Tool.
Becca.
I also never see the Today Show, but I heard mean things about how they treated Ann Curry, so Tool.
Oh.
Christiana.
I can't quit it. I've been watching it for 34 years.
Does that mean it's cool or that
you're... Yeah, cool enough.
My track
fine.
Is cool.
4.5 minutes with AJ. Tool. up next in Cooler Tool, Kelly and Michael. Christiana.
Oh, you know, she's just so peppy and toolish. That's
Becca.
It.
Again, I never watch it. Tool.
No interest. Tool. How's that?
You didn't even like the clip?
No, I didn't.
It was the same as the Today Show
exactly.
clip.
Exactly. Tool. And finally, in cooler tool, David Letterman. Ted.
I've never been a fan of David Letterman either. I know it's horrible to say, but
it is.
And a tool him. Sorry.
Becca?
Oh, no, I love Letterman. Cool.
Exactly. Christiana?
Letterman is okay. He's not Leno, so he's cool.
Letterman is cool because he took this situation. He's like, I'm going to talk to the kid. I'm going to try and set things right and go, hey, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. He tried to do right by the kid. Of all the people all day long, the only one who really
Today Show pimped his shit out, too.
They did, but not
they
in the same...
They pimped his shit out.
Yeah, but it's different. If you just throw it out there and go, hey, AJ's available. Yeah, but I don't want him. I mean, I know Matt Lauer was working hard, but I think Letterman was the only one who really legitimately wanted him on and had his best interest at heart. So David Letterman, cool. That's it for Cooler Tool.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Yay.
It was a rousing round of Cooler Tool.
Is that the first time I've ever gotten the triple tool? I think it might be.
Oh, well,
the triple tool.
Huzzah for you.
I'm pretty proud of myself.
Show 101.
I've become more and more cynical thanks to you, Nate.
Well, that it's working.
Yay.
It is working. All right. So here in California, there is a proposal to tax sweetened soda. It's renewed debate over the state's role in preventing obesity amongst residents. State Senator Bill Monning, a D of Carmel, or D bag of Carmel.
Oh.
I don't know. he's introduced legislation that would levy a 1 cent per ounce tax on sweetened beverages. That includes sodas as part of an effort to fight obesity amongst young people. The money paid by beverage distributors under SB 622 would go toward a children's health promotion fund to pay for a statewide childhood obesity prevention program. Quote, this bill will combat the obesity crisis and ensure that our children and future generations.
Nate, wake up, wake up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Longer, healthier lives. In addition to funding the program, Monning said the measure, quote, is intended to discourage excessive consumption of sweetened beverages by increasing the price of these products. So basically, it's a sin tax on soda.
Question.
Yeah.
Does sweetened beverages, is that a way of saying not diet? Like, are artificially sweetened beverages exempt? Or
that's a good
what
question.
Do they mean?
I don't know. My guess is they would be exempt because they don't have calories.
Even though they say that drinking diet drinks can contribute to it. Like, studies are saying that people who drink a lot of diet drinks can have problems with weight gain anyway.
Right, because your body doesn't necessarily know the difference between the two, so it processes things a certain way. People just don't fully understand how certain things work yet. It's the beauty of science.
Which is why I don't mind. Which is why I don't mind any of these efforts, because I think that there's so much.
Oh, sorry, I was getting
Wait, were you really commenting on her?
Oh, no, I was getting
I call shenanigans.
No, tell me more about how good it is to put taxes.
I'm not saying it's necessarily
how
good.
It is, how beneficial.
I think it might be beneficial, but I think
I know my mic was on. That was what happened.
wait. You didn't get a chance to say your thought.
I apologize. That was rude of me.
No, I just want to know what you're thinking.
I'm thinking that there's a lot that people don't actually know. I mean, I only read like half of all these books, like Omnivore's Dilemma and other treatises on stuff. But I just think there's a lot of bullshit that goes into these products that we're buying, like processed food and sugared sodas and whatever. And we don't have any fucking clue. So yeah, people can stand up there and be like, I can drink whatever the fuck I want to drink. People can drink whatever the fuck they want to drink. But you don't actually know what you're drinking. So if part of getting you off of that is taxing it so it's less appealing and so you go for something else, then go for it. We do it with cigarettes, and we've dramatically cut down on that really unhealthy thing.
Is that because of the taxes or because of the education? And that's
probably both.
But the taxes pay for the education.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't care. We tax, there's a lot of excise taxes in the country that fund a lot of things that are related to it. Every time you fill up your car, part of that tax money you pay goes to paving the roads that you're driving on because you're using them.
Or not.
So, no, they do.
Yeah, I just haven't seen a lot of paving lately.
Well,
I've paid a lot of tax lately at the gas pump, but
right.
I haven't seen a lot of people out laying pavement down.
You not driven on any lately?
I've driven a lot of places.
So what do you think, projects, Ken? But
I think it's great. It's effective. No, I mean, I'm sorry, Chris. I should not have been snotty towards you. I just hate this kind of legislation where you're punishing people. I don't know, just these companies can just make whatever the crap fuck they want that's all bad for you, and then we're going to make people pay for it to make up for their sins, and then do something else with it to educate people. It's, I don't know, I'd like to see money go toward healthy food for kids
and
healthy drink options.
Where are you going to get the money from?
Well, you can tax the companies that are doing these, making these horrible things.
Well, eventually we put them out of business, right? Or they can change their business model.
Yeah, that's a good idea. They can change their business model.
So
yeah,
I know, but they're not doing it on their own, so... I'm not sure you want the same thing out of this.
But this, I don't think this is the way to get it. I think it's plus, I think it's totally arbitrary. We're going to pick on one particular type of bad food when clearly the whole society needs to be re-educated about what they should or shouldn't eat. It just seems like such a narrow approach to dealing with one very minor, not minor, but one health problem when it's just, it doesn't, I don't think it, I don't know. I just don't think it will solve anything.
Well, it's an easy target. It's the easiest target. It's the big thing. You can go, I'm going to tax soda. I mean, Bloomberg went after it in a different way in New York by trying to say you can't buy a soda that's over 16 ounces.
Which is also bullshit.
It is. It's complete, and it was actually it was struck down in court. But this is a sort of a nanny state sort of thing that I don't necessarily agree with. I mean, they're... Is it bad for you? Probably in certain levels, but it's not to equate it with smoking cigarettes is a false equivalency at best.
We don't really know, though. I mean, for a lot of this processed food, the stuff that's going in it now hasn't been used long enough to really know what is your body going to look like after you've consumed this food product or additive for 30, 40, 50 years. Well, and we have no way of knowing that yet because humans haven't lived long enough with these food additives being produced in the way that they're produced, with the things we do to crops, to know how they actually turn out.
Well, and the other thing is they can't just go through and tax all of the food and all of the groceries like that, so they're hitting that one thing that they can. They go, aha, we're going to get that. We're going to get candy. We're going to get soda. We're going to get this. So as you go through the grocery store, if you look
right,
at your bill...
apples aren't the problem, so they're not going to tax the apples.
Well, unless they're coated with pesticides and all sorts of weird genetic hormones and other things that go into it, but it's part of a weird nanny state sort of thing that I'm not hugely in favor of. I mean, there are a lot of problems in California that probably deserve as much attention as a cent per ounce tax on soda or other sweetened drinks. So it's just I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of all of this whole thing, and you know, I've been to Carmel. The people in Carmel tend to have enough money to be able to afford whatever they want. It's a pretty affluent place, so the person who represents that area doesn't necessarily understand what it's like to be somewhere else. And I know that's a weird argument, but I stand by it. That if you're from Carmel, you better have some co-sponsors of the bill from Eureka or someplace like that where real people live.
Or just further down in the same peninsula.
Yes, further down the same peninsula. Yes.
Or just east on the same peninsula. Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, I'd rather see like a tax on, I don't know, this is going to sound horrible, but like a fast food tax, like anything you buy at McDonald's. I know that wouldn't fly either, but just like at least that's covering a whole base of really bad food that's subsidized in a lot of awful ways by taxpayers as opposed to one specific sort of drink.
Politically, they have to go after one product first. And you have to know that everybody who's, you know, McDonald's, the Twinkie, whoever's making Twinkies now, everybody's going to line up behind this bill and put a lot of money behind it because they're like, well, once they knock down the first domino and get a tax on that, then they're going to come for everybody else. So they could start with the entire industry. They can start with one. They're still battling the entire industry. It's going to be the same level of political fight.
Okay.
Because of what, you know, first they came for my soda and I did
that. That's right.
I said nothing. Then they came for my Cheetos and I said nothing.
This is really all just a ploy to make lobbyists rich.
Ugh, I hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, there's kids that just need better food and nutrition at school. So we're going to take money from soda companies that kids are paying for anyway and put into education programs to teach them how they could eat better.
Well, and it's not even taking money from soda companies. It's taking money. It's taking money from people
who patronize the soda companies, who know damn well they're making food that's really bad for people. Just like the food that companies that make the processed food, they just want the cheapest.
Well, to be fair, Coke does make vitamin water, so that must be good for you, right?
I said vitamin water the other time, but it wasn't actually vitamin water I was talking about. Was that a callback to my vitamin water that I caught a spider in?
No, it was not. Okay. It was just saying that something that says it's good isn't necessarily. I saw Idiocracy again this past weekend, and if you haven't seen Idiocracy, you really should, because it's really scarily accurate in certain ways. Not really good acting, not the best written thing ever, but scarily accurate in some ways.
Yeah, that's a weird movie. It's like, it could be so much better than it is, but it is. It's worth watching.
It is. It's absolutely worth watching. So the next story, there's been a resignation. The sorority girl who wrote an email to her members, the president, has resigned from Delta Gamma. It was the rant read round the world. Taking the turn, Rebecca Martinson has resigned from her sorority last week after sending out an email to her members. And with a dramatic reading of said email, our very own Becca Costello. Becca?
Do you really want this thing in its entirety? This is my whole year's quota of F words.
Well, let's start it out and see how it goes.
All right. I'll give it a shot. Here we go, y'all. If you just open this like I told you to, tie yourself down to whatever chair you're sitting in, because this email is going to be a rough fucking ride. For those of you that have your heads stuck under rocks, which apparently is the majority of this chapter, we have been fucking up in terms of nighttime events and general social interactions with Sigma Nu. I've been getting texts on texts about people literally being so fucking awkward and so fucking boring. If you're reading this right now and you're saying to yourself, but OMG, Julia, I've been having so much fun with my sisters this week, then punch yourself in the face right now so that I don't have to fucking find you on campus to do it myself. I do not give a flying fuck, and Sigma Nu does not give a flying fuck about how much you fucking love to talk to your sisters. You have 361 days out of the fucking year to talk to your sisters, and this week is not, I repeat, not one of them. This week is about fostering relationships in the Greek community, and that's not fucking possible if you're going to stand around and talk to each other and not our matchup. Newsflash, you stupid cocks. Frats don't like boring sororities.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Double fucking newsflash. Sigma Nu is not going to want to hang out with us if we fucking suck. Which, by the way, in case you're an idiot and need it spelled out for you, we fucking suck so far.
Wait, I thought frats liked sororities that sucked. Oh, wrong sock. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Bad.
This also applies to you little shits that have talked openly about post-gaming at a different frat in front of Sigma Nu brothers. Are you people fucking retarded? That is not a rhetorical question. I literally want you to email me back telling me if you're mentally slow so I can make sure you don't go to any more nighttime events. If Sigma Nu openly said, yeah, we're going to invite Zeta over, would you be happy? Would you? No, you wouldn't. So why the fuck would you do it to them? In front of them? First of all, you shouldn't be post-gaming at other frats. I don't give a fuck if your boyfriend is in it, if your brother is in it, or if your entire family is in that frat. You don't go. You don't go. And you especially do not fucking convince other girls to leave with you. But Julia, you say in a whiny little bitch voice to your computer screen as you read this email, I've been cheering on our teams at all the sports. Doesn't that count for something? No, you stupid fucking asshats. It fucking doesn't. Do you want to know fucking why? It doesn't count because you've been fucking up at sober fucking events too. I've not only gotten texts about people being fucking weird at sports, for example, being shits and saying stuff like, "Durr, what's kickball?" is not fucking funny. But I've also gotten texts about people actually cheering for the opposing team. The opposing fucking team. Are you fucking stupid? I don't give a shit about sportsmanship. You cheer for our goddamn team and not the other one. Have you never been to a sports game? Are you fucking blind? Or are you just so fucking dense about what it means to make people like you that you think being a good little supporter of the geek community is going to make our matchup happy? Well, it's time someone told you no one fucking likes that, especially our fucking matchup. I will fucking cunt punt the next person I hear about doing something like that. And I don't give a fuck if you SOR me. I will fucking assault you. Oh, Julia, I'm now crying because your email has made me oh so, so sad. Well, good. If this email applies to you in any way, meaning if you are a little asswipe that stands in the corners at night, or if you are a weird shit that does weird shit during the day, then this message is for you. Do not go to tonight's event. I'm not fucking kidding. Don't go. Seriously, if you have done anything I've mentioned in this email and have some rare disease where you're unable to not do these things, then you are horrible. I repeat, horrible PR for this chapter. I would rather have 40 girls that are fun, talk to boys, and not fucking awkward than 80 that are fucking faggots.
If you whoa, sorority girl.
she's already dropped retard and cunt, and this is where you're drawing the line?
It just seems inapplicable.
If you are one of the people who have told me, oh no, boo hoo, I can't talk to boys, I'm too sober. Then I pity you, because I don't know how you got this far in life. And with that in mind, don't fucking show up unless you're going to stop being a goddamn cock block for our chapter. Seriously, I swear to fucking God, if I see anyone being a goddamn boner at tonight's event, I will tell you to leave, even if you're sober. I'm not kidding. Try me. And for those of you who are offended at this email, I would apologize, but I really don't give a fuck. Go fuck yourself.
Fantastic.
That was really well done.
That was poetic.
There was no reason to stop at any point in that read.
I'm sorry.
That was surprisingly fun. I was like, I don't want to read this. And then I was like, oh my God, this is really fun, you guys. It's so unlike
next Thursday at Luna's. Becca reads
Open Mic's
the Luna's Poetry Slam. That was an internet meme this past week where it was different celebrities reading that.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. I think Joe Pesci did it at one point.
And Michael Shannon did it.
Right.
So a bunch of people did it. But that was a fantastic read.
Thank you for suggesting it.
So for anybody who is frustrated with the people in your lives, you can feel free to send off an email like that, but you're going to have to resign afterward.
Yeah.
I kind of like the word cunt pun. I know cunt has been really, it's been really hotly debated on this show since before I even got here, but the phrase together is really, it's amazing to me.
Where's her appearance on the Today Show and live with Kelly Mike?
Exactly.
Ooh,
that's
a good point.
Sexism at its best. Matt Lauer,
call
this lady.
Come on, everybody. Come on, you want her in your leadership, right? I mean, if they called you back right now.
Yeah, I mean, she's bossy, sure, but I call that leadership.
Exactly.
I feel bad for her.
Well, I do too a little bit, but
I'm sorry. I fear we're living in an age where if you can send an email to someone or you can get caught, take a picture taken of you at a theater saying something and someone can just shame you for the world and it just fucks up your life. Because it's literally true,
but it started. I mean, she sent this to more than one person. I think when you send if she sent it to like one of her friends and was like, oh my God, I'm so frustrated because these fucking bitches, blah, blah, blah. And then her friend turned around and like sent it out. I'd feel more like you do. But if she broadcasts this to a bunch of people like, hey, yo, you're any thought you had. I mean, if she'd written it down old school and mailed it to somebody, this would have been reproduced somewhere. Like,
well, I don't know if any of you have ever worked with people who have felt the need to occasionally write a scathing, long diatribe of an email.
Of course.
I represent them when they get fired for doing so. So, yes.
There's somebody like this everywhere. And I think the lesson for people is go ahead and write your long email and then delete it.
Yeah.
Actually, what I tell my advice to people, hypothetically, is that when they have this moment, a lot of you have a right, if you get some kind of disciplinary letter or memo in your file, you have the right to compose a rebuttal statement to attach to it if you work for the state. And so I tell people, go home tonight, take out a piece of paper. Do not do this on your computer.
Right.
For fuck's sake, do not do it in an email frame, just in case.
And especially at work.
And write everything, like write that sorority or letter, like drop every F-bomb, tell the boss how terrible the boss is, like the whole thing down. Fold it up, put it away, go to bed, get up in the morning, and then we'll write what you actually can turn in. But you have to have that cathartic experience of just like vomiting on the paper.
Yeah.
But never do it in an open email because sometimes things go wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm guessing this isn't the first time this has happened in Greek life where someone has just gone off on a sorority or a fraternity about doing the wrong thing.
It can happen in a sport, you know, in a sporting environment. A coach could send an angry email to the players. It could happen in a business environment. You do something stupid, you fire for an email, but because of the internet and because someone at Gawker thought, I'm going to post this with the person's name in school and everything, that's fine. We can all have a good laugh. And she just loses her, you know, she has to step down and she gets fucked over because we all have to have a good laugh at it. And just, it really worries me that this stuff's spiraling out of control because the internet makes it so much easier. And here's another example. Remember what happened with Reddit recently? Mm-hmm. The Boston bomber suspect. A picture of him gets out. Someone who is not, a picture of the suspect gets out. And everyone on Reddit says, oh, I know this guy. It's this guy. And then this stuff just blows up. And then everyone goes crazy and does something horrible to a would-be suspect. Not apples to apples, but the point being information and just spread so quickly, like Tinder, and
that's like
explode.
Apples to zebras.
No, it's not.
It's not.
If you do something willfully wrong, it's different. There's different, like that. The kid on the news saying fucking shit like that. Okay, yeah, that's dumb. He shouldn't. I don't think he should have got fired for that. He's only gotten good press out of it. Whatever. You do a one-time thing that's bad. That's fine. you're a coach who bitches at your players all the time, and eventually someone releases the video, I don't feel bad for you. You send a mass email treating everybody like dirt in a giant organization and gets out, I don't feel bad for you either.
Well, but don't you feel
that's something
bad?
That you wrote down. I mean, yeah, it sucks that you're... Well, you know what? No, because she's fucking in college. That's an adult. I think it's a problem that we treat, you know, everyone who's like 35 and under like they're still a young kid who can make young kid mistakes. You can still make mistakes. But by the time you're in college, you and especially knowing what the world is like now, you should be able to think of that shit before you hit send.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I should expect that the world's going to know my name within one day because I'm sending an angry email to my small sorority in this
Maybe
in this
not
school.
The world, but you should expect that you're probably going to lose your sorority position because everyone on campus is going
to
know.
But don't you think that the thing that seems unfair to me, like maybe she's a crappy sorority leader and she should have lots, but now she's going to graduate from college and this is going to be what comes up in her name with Google for all the jobs she applies for everything. I mean, it just seems to me that the consequences are too high when you can get this reputation based on one thing that follows you around into your future as right. you're trying to, you yeah. know,
it sucks,
you
but don't you
work,
know that? Don't you know that now?
We will now.
Like, but even before, but I mean, even going into this, like, you know, you kids today, they know now well, how permanent the internet is.
Right. And even even
she
before
she
that.
Gonna get sent her stuff was gonna get sent to Gawker though I
no.
mean I,
well I, she should have at least it? She should have at least have expected that her name was gonna be dirt on campus
well especially since her
at
sorority
least.
Sisters are such fucking lamos I mean come on
they are awkward and boring
yeah they're awkward
in
and boring so you know they're gonna do that
exactly
so that's that but I kind of agree with you guys that we've become the society where someone makes a mistake what like a mistake and instead of going man you really screwed up don't do that ever again it's oh that person needs to lose their job they need to lose their livelihood right now and I think that's crap because if yeah you make a big mistake you should be called in and go look this is your one chance you made a mistake you really screwed it up if anything like this happens again you're gone okay that's fair. But to just go through and randomly, and it happens all the time. Oh, this person should be fired. This person should be fired. And it's crap. Now, if you're the Rutgers coach and you're yelling faggot at players and pushing them and hitting them, and this is a repeated pattern of behavior, yeah, you deserve to lose your job. But in a lot of cases, it's completely unfounded. Now,
well, like the CVS guy. We talked about CVS yeah. guy, what, last week? I don't think that person should have been fired.
Yeah,
no, I think so
that
either.
The you know people are and they shouldn't owe $1 million whatever. It's very context driven. But today's kids and things I certainly will teach my kid as she like grows up in an inner age that we can't even imagine because we don't know what's going to look like in 18 months, let alone 18 years.
Right.
To think before she puts anything online, to think before she hits send, because it's not because you can't control it. The only thing you control is what you put into the stream. You can't control where it ends up.
Right.
So you should be careful. Yes, you can accidentally send that big email, whatever, but you know, you gotta think too. If you're sending a wide broadcast email, then you're sending a wide broadcast email.
I agree. No, I agree with you. I guess probably our same point that you have to be careful what you send out, but also think out of common decency, if it's possible not to take every rant that you have to the internet the second something happens.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
On to more important things. Scarlett Johansson has debuted a new ginger hairdo and a much slimmer look on the set of Captain America,
Ooh.
The Winter Soldier. The actress who dyed her blonde locks a light red to play the Russian spy turned hero, Black Widow, also appeared to have lost some of her famous curves as she filmed the movie's sequel.
Bullshit.
Nah.
Wandering around the set with her chihuahua Maggie, the 28-year-old, displayed a noticeable set of ribs through her black vest top. Plus a dramatically shrunken chest.
Bullshit.
It's a far cry from the busty look of the Hollywood star is known for. Judging by the new pictures, producers may have toned down the sex appeal of her character, who also appeared in the Avengers ensemble and Iron Man 2. ScarJo started the day in the yellow tracksuit bottoms and no makeup as she wandered around the set with a hot drink. But a quick costume change later and she appeared wearing shiny black skinny jeans, leather knee-high boots, and an army jacket. Samuel L. Jackson, who plays super spy Nick Fury, was also spotted on the set in a bright blue hoodie, purple joggers, and matching trainers. So there's a little bit of equal opportunity.
How's his junk looking, though?
They don't cover that. He's wearing...
Weird.
His hoodie goes too far down, so you can't really see his junk.
Okay, because I'm kind of worried about his junk.
But he is wearing purple sneakers to match his purple jogging pants. So what has happened to Scarlett Johansson's boobs?
Nothing. Probably nothing happened to her size either. She's on set. I love, they take these pictures with like, I mean, lenses affect the way you look.
Oh, yeah.
Video, like film cameras
this
are different.
This is from a long way off.
It's bullshit. She's like horizontal probably looks bars exactly the same as she did before, and when yeah, she's not wearing giant push-up bras and whatever
that's
else.
A
so
gape. Are you saying women fudge the size of their boobies maybe using bras and such?
Well, I just, I mean, I question, they say that she's carrying a hot drink. How the fuck do you know what's in that cup? She's carrying a mug. You don't fucking know. Like,
it could be hot
please
out there.
It's a hot drink.
It could be all like cigarette butts or something, or like a small squirrel. You don't know what's in that cup.
Dog treats.
I'm pretty sure yeah, it's not a small exactly squirrel.
Where's her chihuahua?
You
oh,
don't
that could
know
be
that
a chihuahua.
Ooh, corner, be y'all.
Yeah. Not Florida corner this week or this show. We go to South Carolina where we meet Amanda Cantwell. She's a South Carolina woman. She's 27. She's facing a domestic violence charge after allegedly attacking her boyfriend when he refused to have sex with her. According to the Charleston Police Department report, Jeffrey Chafin, the 33-year-old victim, told investigators that he and Cantwell had been drinking Monday evening when the trouble started.
Surprise. Drinking.
Chafin, who's lived with Cantwell for about 18 months, told officers she became extremely upset when he refused to have sexual intercourse with her. Chafin added that Cantwell slapped him in the head, jumped on his back, and inserted her fingers in his mouth and clawed the inside of his cheeks with her fingernails.
What?
And that foreplay didn't work to change the situation?
He apparently did not get turgid after that. After getting Cantwell off his back, both literally and figuratively, he called 911. Police responding noted that they were able to observe fresh scratches and blood inside the victim's mouth. When questioned about the confrontation, she acknowledged she and Chafin had been drinking alcohol at their residence all day and became involved in a verbal dispute. She claimed that she only attacked Cantwell after he began choking her. Cops, however, did not observe any marks or redness on or around her neck. So, into jail for domestic violence and booked into the county jail. But she's now free on bond, so yay. And she's going to be back in court.
And she might be single, y'all.
Maybe not, though. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Mm-hmm.
Also in South Carolina, a South Carolina man wearing a novelty T-shirt with a sexually charged message was arrested after refusing a police order to leave a South Carolina park due to the shirt with the phrase on it. According to investigators, Michael Miller, 50, was spotted with a shirt that read, and I quote, "I may not be Mr. Right, but I'll fuck you till he shows up."
Tasteful.
The shirt with the message sells for $19.99 at Spencer's gift store.
Of course, Spencer's. They have the worst.
When cops approached Miller and told him that he was not allowed to wear the shirt in Spartanburg Barnett Park, he reportedly became irate and said he would wear the shirt any fucking where he wanted to. I love it when people turn fucking into an adjective. Miller was then issued a trespass warning from Barnett Park during the Rock the Denim event, a yearly concert that's devoted to raising awareness of sexual violence.
Oh, he was at a concert?
Yeah, to raise awareness against sexual violence.
Oh, wait, I missed that last part because I was like, oh, you can wear an F-word shirt at a concert, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Some concerts you couldn't, like the Wiggles.
Right.
Yo-Yo Ma.
It's a concert raising awareness of sexual violence against women, and he's wearing a shirt that says, "I may not be Mr. Right, but I'll fuck you till he shows up."
In his defense, it didn't say, I will fuck you till he shows up without your consent.
Right.
Yeah. He's offering,
if you're
and it's up
it
to you to accept it.
Yeah, he's offering a verbal contract, if you will.
Okay, I have a question, though.
Yes.
Because I've perused, like, BuzzFeed will do, like, kind of, like, these are 30 terrible shirts on Spencer's Gifts or whatever, like, these, like, kind of horrible sexual T-shirts. Do guys who wear, like, when you put on a shirt like that, do you think that women are gonna approach you? Like, are you thinking, like, this is an icebreaker? Because to me, that just seems like women repellent. Like, no woman is gonna date you when you're wearing that.
You know, oddly, some women, that is an icebreaker.
The cool women will.
Well, no, sometimes.
Not the angry Harvey feminist bitches.
No, sometimes that's who you want to attract. What better way to attract an angry feminist than to wear a female body inspector shirt?
Or do you have
FBI.
One of those?
No, I do not.
Oh, okay. I was just
mustache rides, 5 cents.
Oh, gosh. No, I would probably laugh if I saw someone in a mustache rides t-shirt, because that seems so 70s. Like, that's so retro and cheesy. Like, who would really do that?
Oh, honey.
It would be at least a dollar now.
Right.
Inflation.
I went to Spencer's before our trip, and I got a shirt, so now I'm glad to hear you say that.
Oh, nice. No. Are you going to spring it on me on the cruise?
We'll see.
Do they use cents where you're going?
Yeah, they have the dollar in the Bahamas.
Oh, okay.
Because it's only
like a little conversion factor.
No, it's only 60 miles from Florida, so they have the same currency.
Nice.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
It's like America Junior.
Oh, good. Well, enjoy your time in Florida. Bring back stories.
Do not come back as the story is Florida, yeah. Man.
Ooh,
Florida
it'll
man.
Be Bahamas Corner.
Yeah, and oh, by the way, feel free to tell people on your travels about the podcast.
Ooh, oh, I will, for sure.
And hey, you who are listening and enjoying the show right now, how about you tell a friend about the show?
Lazy bastard.
You have friends with similar senses of humor who would like the same things you do.
They tell a friend.
Exactly. How about you tell them about the Nate Darling Show? It's free, by the way. They don't have to pay anything. So even if they're cheap bastards, they can enjoy the show.
And please like the Nate Darling Show on Facebook. We need more Facebook friends. It validates our existence.
Yeah, and there's extra stuff on our Facebook page that we don't necessarily have time for in the show, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So there is stuff on there as well.
Yeah.
So now let's look at the 10 best jobs for the year 2013.
Oh, the best jobs.
I need a job.
Or
this
would you? Do you want to start with the worst or the best?
Oh, let's go best and the worst.
All right. So the best jobs. Number 10, computer systems analyst.
Nice.
Number 9, physical therapist.
Nice.
8, optometrist.
Boo.
I see.
Ah.
7 is an occupational therapist. Number 6 is a dental hygienist.
Ah.
Number 5, financial planner.
Yes.
Number 4, audiologist.
What?
It's somebody who helps people hear stuff.
Come on, you guys.
Number 3, software engineer.
Woo-hoo.
Number 2, biomedical engineer.
Nerd.
And number 1, the best job for 2013, actuary.
The guy who tells you when all those other people will die.
An actuary.
Yeah, I don't know how that's the best job because it sounds like death to me.
Maybe the money is good.
Now, the worst jobs for 2013. These are the ones. These are going to read a little too close to home for some of us.
Oh,
crap. Oh, fuck.
Number 10.
Sorry, I saw the first one.
Flight attendant. Number 9, roofer. Number 8, mail carrier.
Wait, roofer like pills and tofu? Or roofer
The pills and tofu industry is growing.
It is. It is. Roofing through the roof. Number 8, mail carrier. Number 7, meter reader, because of the smart meters.
Yeah, they're getting rid of those.
Number 6, dairy farmer.
Big
dairy.
Well, and it's very hard, shitty work for low
Literally.
Pay.
Literally.
And the damn vegans.
Right.
Milking soybeans.
Damn you. Number 5, oil rig worker.
That's pretty obvious.
But it seems so glamorous in Armageddon.
I heard the oil rig worker field was exploding.
But
too soon.
Sleep with Liv Tyler. That's what
number 4, actor.
Actor.
Number 3, enlisted military personnel.
Oh, sorry, guys.
The number 2 worst job is lumberjack.
You work all night and you work all day.
Whether you care or not, it is the second worst job. And the worst job for 2013 is...
not lawyering!
Newspaper reporter.
God damn it! So you all know, I don't know if people know on the Nate Darling Show that I was a newspaper reporter for many years, and now I'm unemployed. So if you need someone who can read a profane sorority letter at the drop of a hat.
That was well done.
Yeah, and has other skills like that, you know, feel free to join us on our Facebook page and offer me a job. Thank you.
You should hire Becca. She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I am awesome.
She'd make a good lumberjack.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't swear normally, but if need be, she'll break out a cunt punt for you.
Oh, yeah. No, on cue, on demand.
Oh, poor mail carriers.
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. But they did do. They are not canceling the Saturday delivery. That was.
They aren't.
No.
Oh, I missed that.
That makes me so happy. I seriously was saying to Ted just like last week when I got the mail on Saturday, like, oh, we only have a few more months of this. Like, I'm such a dork. I felt sad about it, so I'm really excited.
Yeah. Apparently the union saved another one.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Yeah. That's how we wrap up every show with a little small town news.
Woo.
From our favorite paper in the whole wide world. Not really. The Press Republican in Plattsburgh, New York.
That won't publish me.
But they did publish these little complaints to speak out. Wage. To the person complaining about the wage increase, have you ever tried to make ends meet with minimum wage, or have you just forgotten how it was to live with so little money?
Yeah, bastard.
This one's titled Payments. Anyone starting Social Security now will, in 10 years, receive approximately $200,000 from the system. There are many more people in the system and fewer contributing. But that's not the problem, according to the politicians pretending to look out for your interests.
Oh, politicians are...
Oh.
This is not better than the speak out I submitted about Bieber, you all. Awesome. It's not better.
Well, I feel my Brazilian one was
It was
pretty...
about the monkey. It was good.
Covered all the bases.
Scandals. With all the government scandals, is anyone else worried that these are the people who seek to disarm us? There are always going to be evil people to prey on the weak. I don't see how making more defenseless people will help.
Fair Fox News lady.
Fair point.
Well, I say lady, man, whatever the hell you are.
Molested. It doesn't just happen to little girls. When your predator is confronted, they deny all to protect themselves. Who was protecting me as a little boy when my sister was violating me?
Well, you could say that to speak out, or perhaps maybe it would be better to talk about that with your family or a therapist. I don't know.
It seems mislabeled. Yes.
They went with that over Bieber? Come on.
Well, at the bottom of the page, Becca, it does say error in red letters, so maybe that's yours.
Oh, okay.
You get the
I'll
error.
Keep trying then. I'm going to get in the press Republican speak out somehow.
And finally, in speak out, weather. Nice weather is finally here, and people are starting to clean inside and outside. If someone has anything that is free or for sale, then please put a sign saying so.
Or...
free
use,
or for sale.
Use Craigslist.
Yeah, don't just clean your stuff and put it outside, because then you have to wonder, is it free? Is it for sale? Or they just put it outside while they clean?
Do I have to leave a tip when I take this sofa?
Yeah, can I just take the sofa? Do I need to leave money?
Are
the cops going to come after me? I mean, I need to know.
Is this just their new lawn bedroom set? What's happening? Yeah,
anything is possible. So that's small town news for... another episode. And that's another episode. Episode 101.
Almost to 200. 99 more to go.
We're almost to 200. We're far closer than we were before. So anyway, that'll do it for this week. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Becca and Ted, on your big cruise.
Tell you all about it in 2 weeks.
Yeah. Next week, Nick and Michaela will be sitting in. We'll talk about Critical Hit. And a bunch of other stuff. We'll probably talk about Ted and Becca, too.
Yay.
We'll do some comparing and contrasting. You know, married couple.
They're on a good holiday. And
married couple to, dating couple.
Cohabitating couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same couple, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, we'll compare and contrast. Okay. See how it goes. But that'll do it for this episode of the show. Everybody, have a good weekend. Also, next week, I'll tell you how awesome my new cruiser bike that I'm so stoked about is.
Ooh!
The mystery will finally be over, or I'll get it and not like it and feel like a big jackass. Which one will it be?
Either way, we all win.
Yeah, we all win.
except for you.
Except for me, no. I guess.
Which we win, too.
I don't know how that goes. Either way, have a great weekend. New show for you next Wednesday and Friday. Get it on NateDarlingShow.com, iTunes, the Stitcher mobile app. Listen to us anywhere, anytime, and please tell a friend. And toodaloo, everybody.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Nate, you're 100% right.
Holy crap, dude!
This is stupid. I want to talk about vaginas!
If there's one thing America needs, it's more lawyers.
Okay, the first rule of Jewish Fight Club is if somebody says ow, you stop.
was excellent. We should do that once a week.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Fun dip right now.
Not giving a fuck.